He seems more interested in how he's doing in the ratings than he is how many deaths are occurring in the states.
The presidential political effect of coronavirus. It's Friday, April 3rd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Instagram and Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, political campaigning in the age of pandemic, questions of health in North Korea, supplying needed medical equipment, new life emerges amid tragedy, and the music plays on. It's all on today's VOA Asia. With the coronavirus death toll mounting in the United States, the presidential election in November 2020 is now shaping up potentially as a referendum on how President Donald Trump is handling the COVID-19 pandemic. The president has not shied away from being political during this time of national crisis, and his campaign is seeking to capitalize on the image of the commander-in-chief leading White House coronavirus briefings. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara has the story.
As the pandemic ravages the country, President Donald Trump is trying to project an image of a strong leader in control at a time of crisis, holding almost daily televised briefings from the White House.
We're at war with a deadly virus. Success in this fight will require the full, absolute measure of our collective strength, love, and devotion.
Recently, Trump bragged about the ratings of his press briefings on Twitter, prompting some observers to criticize the president for politicizing a pandemic. Shannon O'Brien is a professor of political science at the University of Texas at Austin.
We shouldn't care what the ratings are for a presidential briefing. And he seems more interested in how he's doing in the ratings than he is how many deaths are occurring in the states.
Now that the Trump campaign is no longer holding rallies, press briefings have become a substitute.
Trump is certainly using these pressers to advance his own reelection cause. He thinks that putting himself in this position in the homes of Americans every day will produce a rally around the flag effect, because he'll be at the center of this ongoing pandemic. And it has worked to a certain degree. He's gained a few percentage points.
The briefings often include executives of private companies who support the federal government's pandemic effort.
Looks like you're not sleeping well.
Yeah.
Including a pillow manufacturer who will be producing masks and who has voiced his support for Donald Trump.
God gave us grace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we were on.
Our victory. History shows incumbents have an advantage during times of crisis because they can appear commanding. In Trump's case, he's now getting the highest ratings of his presidency, an opportunity the Trump campaign will try to seize. Now that the Trump campaign is no longer holding rallies, press briefings have become a substitute, said Larry Sabato of the University's of Virginia's Center for Politics.
If he were more disciplined and if he stuck to the facts rather than inventing things, then he would have a better chance of reelection. He's not going to win in a landslide, that's for sure. He needs to win a couple more percent in order to ensure his reelection.
The campaign must also deal with negative ads portraying the president as blundering in handling the coronavirus crisis.
The coronavirus.
This is their new hoax.
The campaign is demanding TV stations stop airing that ad by a political action committee supporting Democratic presidential candidates. Meantime, Trump is likely to continue presiding over the live daily coronavirus briefings, providing a powerful forum to make his case for re-election.
Thank you, everybody.
Patsy Whitaker-Sawara, VOA News at the White House.
We invite you to read and see more on our top story and everything on our program by following us on Twitter at VOA Asia. We're also on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at VOA Asia. These are among some of the top Asia headlines that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Philippine president says those violating antivirus measures could be shot. Pakistani court overturns death sentence of accused killer of journalist Daniel Pearl. China's jobless rate to rise as canceled orders hurt manufacturers. Vietnam imposes hefty fines for not wearing a mask. Singapore plans record stimulus as coronavirus turns GDP growth negative. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia and the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. North Korea remains a very reclusive state when it comes to detailed information about its population as a whole. Pyongyang has said no coronavirus cases have been found inside the country. Many observers doubt the claim, as North Korea has said it will take some aid to help fight the virus. The top U.S. general in South Korea says he does not accept North Korea's claim that it has no coronavirus cases. From Seoul, VOA's Bill Gallo has more.
North Korea has repeatedly insisted it remains virus-free, even as the disease ravages countries around the world. However, General Robert Abrams, the head of the U.S. military in South Korea, says he doesn't believe it.
That is an impossible claim, based on all of the intel that we have seen.
Abrams, who spoke to VOA and the U.S.-based cable news network CNN on Thursday in Seoul, would not say how many coronavirus cases he believes are in North Korea.
But I do know by their actions that for about 30 days in February, early March, that their military was locked down. And they took draconian measures at their border crossings and inside their formations to do exactly what everybody else is doing, which is stop the spread.
North Korea closed its borders in late January, just after the coronavirus emerged in neighboring China. Completely sealing the border with China would be almost impossible, though, since North Korea's economy relies on both formal and informal trade with China. A major outbreak could lead to a humanitarian disaster in North Korea, which lacks adequate medical supplies and infrastructure. North Korea itself has called coronavirus prevention a matter of national survival and implemented strict quarantine measures. Its state media have portrayed the efforts as 100% successful and instead highlight sprawling death tolls in other countries. With the world's focus on the coronavirus, North Korea has also been testing an unprecedented number of missiles. Last month, the country test-fired 8 short-range ballistic missiles, a record high for the country. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul, South Korea.
Happening now in Asia, since the start of the week, 7 large funeral homes in Wuhan, China, have been handing out cremated remains of around 500 people to their families every day, suggesting that far more people died there than reflected in the official statistics of 2,500. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, social distancing to slow the spread of COVID-19 is changing the tactics for political campaigns, especially for those candidates running for president of the United States. VOA's Steve Reddish examines the changing strategies and endangered traditions.
In a matter of days, the U.S. presidential campaign has gone from this to this.
The governor of Ohio asked the presidential campaigns to cancel their indoor public events in Cleveland with large crowds of people. And that's what we did due to the coronavirus.
Coronavirus is changing the 2020 campaign playbook. More than a dozen states and territories have either postponed primary elections or changed to a vote-by-mail ballot, delaying the Democratic Party's crowning of a presidential nominee. Frontrunner Joe Biden now conducts webcasts and podcasts from a makeshift studio in his Delaware home. Campaign staff works remotely.
We're going to win the great state of North Carolina in a landslide.
Those raucous rallies by President Donald Trump are on hold, trading his normally busy travel schedule for daily visibility at White House coronavirus briefings.
We're doing that quite accurately.
It is certainly very beneficial for him to have the ability to speak to millions of people on a daily basis.
Most candidates and campaigns are actively using social media to get the message out and raise money. Spending it will be different, too.
You're going to see a lot more money spent on paid advertising, and that's for two reasons. The first being you can't send people door-to-door to canvas and pass out literature. Those interactions are really not possible in the age of social distancing. And also, it's really hard to earn media as a candidate because what everyone wants to hear about is the coronavirus pandemic.
Adapting political strategies around a pandemic happened after the 1918 Spanish flu, when Republican Warren Harding won the 1920 presidential election by staying in his Ohio hometown while hundreds of thousands of voters flocked to hear him speak from his front porch. If avoiding crowds remains in place, voting in November may become confusing.
There are only four states in the country right now that conduct elections entirely by mail, which means there are 46 states that have significant populations where voters just aren't accustomed to mailing in a ballot.
Customs like going to the polls, shaking hands, kissing babies, and selfies with a candidate may fall victim to the 2020 stay-at-home campaign. Steve Reddish, VOA News, Washington.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. The coronavirus pandemic may prompt Britain to abandon an already contentious deal with the Chinese telecom giant Huawei for the spread of disinformation by Beijing about the origins of the virus and for its evasiveness about the scale and infectiousness of the disease. Downing Street officials say Beijing could face a reckoning over the virus. Visit us on Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. Businesses and research facilities have joined a global effort to defeat the coronavirus. With respirators in short supply in many countries, a German university is developing rudimentary no-frills devices to aid COVID-19 sufferers who are on the path to recovery. That frees up fancier models for those whose lives are still in danger. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports.
Scientists at the Philips University of Marburg have developed a simplified respirator. PhD student Caroline Sommer.
We have carried out tests that show that this device is ready to go on the market, but we don't have approval yet. And we appeal to politicians so we can get approval and our device can go on the market as soon as possible and get to hospitals.
This is one of two models. It uses an automated, modified hand pump with extra features. Researchers say the design benefits patients already over the worst symptoms of the novel coronavirus.
A patient who is badly affected should not be connected directly to our model. He should be connected to a professional respirator first, the goal being to relieve the health system. Then the professional ventilator would be free again, and an acute patient could be connected to that one.
The other model scientists developed already exists in many households as a treatment for sleep apnea. Developers added hardware to make it a respirator.
It works by applying positive airway pressure on the person who uses it, so he breathes easily and inhales and exhales without problem. All we did was build an accessory.
Sommer notes CPAP, or continuous positive airway pressure devices, are more common in wealthier countries. The simple hand pump model could provide a lifeline in rich and poor countries alike. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
India says it will pull out of a three-week lockdown in phases, according to Prime Minister Narendra Modi, as officials battle to contain the country's biggest cluster of coronavirus infections in the capital, New Delhi. The shutdown, which has brought Asia's third-largest economy to a shuddering halt, is due to end on April 14th. Modi had ordered India's 1.3 billion people indoors to avert a massive outbreak of coronavirus infections, but the world's biggest shutdown has left millions without jobs and forced migrant workers to flee their villages for food and shelter. He told state chief ministers that the shutdown had helped limit infections, but that the situation remained far from satisfactory around the world and there could be a second wave. India has had almost 2,000 confirmed infections, of whom 50 have died, low figures by comparison with the United States, China, Italy, and Spain. But the big worry is the emergence of a cluster in Delhi because of a gathering held by a Muslim missionary group last month. Thousands of people had visited the headquarters of the missionary group in a cramped corner of Delhi over several days in March, including delegates from Muslim-majority countries Indonesia, Malaysia, and Bangladesh.
About 9,000 people linked to the group have been tracked down, including 1,300 foreigners, and transferred either to quarantine centers or hospitals, according to top officials. These people had either attended prayers and lectures at the headquarters in the densely packed neighborhood or came into contact with them later. Health experts have warned that the death toll could surge across South Asia, home to a fifth of the world's population and with weak public health systems. You're listening to VOA Asia.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Can the coronavirus survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you're sick or advised to by local authorities. A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, Nathan and Katie Makita are one of the many new parents in the United States whose child was born during the coronavirus pandemic. Normally a celebratory time, they've had to isolate themselves from family and friends to protect their newborn son, Nico. Nathan tells his personal story about how they find joy with their newborn child under the trying circumstances of self-isolation and the loss of his job.
My name is Nathan. I'm a videographer, photographer, content creator based here in Miami, Florida. My son was born March 6th, 2020 at 11:57 p.m. into what we now know to be the global coronavirus pandemic.
There you go.
Oh my gosh!
Look at that! Hey, look at you!
I work for a hospitality group here in Miami. I was laid off along with hundreds of employees, and there's a lot of uncertainty right now, and it's scary. It's weighing a lot on me and my wife.
We need to have things that last a little bit longer.
Yeah, so we'll get what we've been getting, like so the cauliflower, the cabbage. Yeah, so this is how I go to the store nowadays, which is, I don't know, there's a lot of conflicting information out there about whether or not this is even helpful, but I figure it has to do something. And here we go, on our way. My biggest fear right now is putting my son in danger, and that means making sure that I don't get sick, making sure my wife doesn't get sick. Still no toilet paper. So we're taking all the precautions, we're following all the guidelines, we're cooped up in our apartment.
Echo, set timer for 30 seconds.
That's my biggest focus right now, is to make sure we don't get sick. We have to stay healthy, that's the bottom line. My sisters, my brothers, my wife's sister, cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, they've never met him, they've never seen him in person. So we're basically sharing through FaceTime.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good.
Yeah, he was sleeping all day today.
All day.
Uh-oh, well, maybe tonight you won't get by with...
That's what I thought.
High five.
Oh, no. I just wished I could hold him a little bit.
I know.
At least we have it. At least we can spend a little bit of time with our family and friends.
Hi, sweetie. Hi, baby.
Even if it's not in person. I spend a few hours every day looking for work, but it's tough right now. I'm still optimistic and hopeful that my job will come back. At the end of the day, I'm grateful because I'm getting to spend these first few crucial weeks and months with my son, and that is an opportunity that I honestly didn't think I was going to have. So that has truly been a blessing.
New father Nathan Makita in his own words. As we make our way through the coronavirus pandemic, experts seem to agree, if you're not a healthcare worker, do not buy N95 masks. They are in extremely short supply for the people who need them the most. Those are the frontline healthcare workers trying to protect themselves from COVID-19 while they save lives. That said, there is still debate over whether staying at home and limiting contact with groups of people remains the best way to stop the pandemic. But some experts are starting to suggest that some kind of face covering may help, not by protecting the wearer from infection, but by protecting others from the wearer. There's growing evidence that people can spread the disease without having symptoms themselves, although it's not the biggest factor driving the pandemic. Two studies have linked 6% to 13% of infections to people who were not showing symptoms. Masks may help protect people who are infectious from transmitting the disease, according to Harvard University epidemiology professor Bill Hanage. There, of course, is much more to this story, and we invite you to read it at voanews.com. Now on VOA Asia, a growing number of Americans are being ordered to stay home to help contain the spread of COVID-19. So musicians who can't stop playing are finding creative ways to share their music, both online and in places close to home. VOA's Julie Tabo found several Washington area musicians who are keeping the music flowing for audiences everywhere.
The side porch of a house may seem like an unlikely place to hold a classical concert. But that's what the Milo Trio is doing. Since new social guidelines and mandates are preventing people from clustering in groups, they've taken their music outdoors and online, where people can keep their distance while enjoying a communal experience.
I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I love the selection of music. And just being here with the musicians who are performing just made me feel a whole lot better.
It was really good, really complicated music.
I thought, the music was really sweet and happy.
This is quite an opportunity to, on a weather like this, and our kids' teachers playing here, so wonderful to let them watch her and get inspired.
The trio has been together since January of last year.
We've tried to figure out some way that we could see each other, bring music to the community, and kind of satiate both of those needs.
We really enjoy sharing that music with the people around us in our community, and these outdoor porch socially distant concerts have been a great way to help build that community and help people remember that we're all still here and we're all still doing art.
Pianist Carl Banner says the response to their two concerts has been terrific.
In the neighborhood, I feel like a celebrity. Everybody stops me and says, "Oh, we loved your music." And I thought, wow.
Take my hand. The Milo Trio is not alone. Around the corner, Bill Crandall plays a guitar in his garage and shares it with neighbors and on social media. And across town, jazz harmonicist Frederick Yonet shares his music online and through the open windows of his makeshift studio.
You know, as a musician, you think most of your life no one cares. Now they care.
During these uncertain times, one thing is sure. When the sound of music beckons, people flock to listen on the streets of Washington and beyond. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us all over the place on the internet. Try Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, all under the name of VOA Asia, and we're on Twitter as well. You can also find our program at voanews.com. We thank you so much for joining us today. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe and be well.